ever gone through the same situation where people have looked on you and told you, you are crazy, or looked on you as if you are crazy, or you look crazy? Have you all gone through that? I have gone through it many times in college. In fact, one personal experience I'll tell you a little later in the lecture. But I'm sure all of you must have gone through this experience where people think, you know, where have you come from, you know, as if the cat has brought you inside. Some really weird looking expression on their face, making you feel as if you are the craziest person on earth. So today in this lecture, we will find out who is crazy, a very important question. You see, in this world, everybody thinks that everyone else is crazy except themselves. If you see, go to see, most of the times, but the reality is, what psychology says is that everyone is little crazy within. You agree? Sometimes you feel that you are really a bit crazy. But the point is, psychology proves that everyone is a bit crazy from inside. Sometimes that crazy side comes out more, sometimes it is suppressed. But otherwise, everyone is crazy. But the funny part is that in the world, everyone thinks everyone else is as crazy as anything. You see, from, you know, in the case of religions, there are so many religions in this world, but each religion thinks that what the ideologies of the other religion is completely crazy. They are funny. For example, in Christianity, there are so many different sects within Christianity, and there is so much views that are so different, and they don't agree with each other on anything. For example, a Roman Catholic, it is said that a Roman Catholic will never enter a Protestant church. Now, a Roman Catholic and a Protestant will never enter a Methodist church. A Roman Catholic and a Protestant and a Methodist will never enter a Episcopalian church, which is completely different views from all the others. So you see, within religion itself, because there are so many differing views, you know, each religion thinks the other religion is completely crazy because they don't accept what we are believing in, right? Now, for example, even among Muslims, we see that there are so many different sects. A Shia Muslim, a Shia will never go into a Sunni mosque. Shia and Sunni will never enter an Ahmadi mosque. And a Sunni, Shia, Ahmadi will never enter a Bori Muslim mosque. So the point is that within religion itself, we see that there is so much difference. Like, Muslims must be thinking Hindus are crazy. Why are we, you know, worshipping dolls, like, you know, or idols? For them, they are like idols or dolls. They don't have any value for a deity at all, because that's what they don't believe in. Whereas the same way, Hindus think that, you know, all other religions are crazy because they are not following what. And in the name of this, there are so much violence going on. There is so much violence in this world because each religion thinks that the other religion is crazy. They don't understand why somebody is doing something like that. What to speak of politicians. Each party, now there is every day a new party coming up. And each party has got their own different ideologies, and everything is different from the others. So the whole life goes in each party is just pulling the other party down, right? In America, the Democrats and the Republicans, there is so much. In fact, they are literally slamming each other during the elections, trying to prove how the other party is as crazy as ever, and nobody should follow that, and everyone should follow what we are saying. In politicians' lives, we see each party is trying to compete with the other, trying to prove how the other party is crazy. And which other type of, the more than anything, more than we see in religions and politicians, what today we see is among generations. There is a big battle of generations going on here. Each generation thinks the other generation is as crazy as ever. There's a big generation gap, right? It's like, once I had read in a book long back, you know, that there was a family in the 1960s, when there was a threat of war on them, like the Russians attacking Americans with nuclear war. So everybody was so terrified they would make bomb shelters, you know. Like if any time, if the Russians attack, then we can go under in the bomb shelter. So unfortunately, an aircraft fell on their house, and they thought that actually the nuclear war has started, and in fear they went under the house in the bomb shelter. They had built a bomb shelter under their house, and that bomb shelter was so equipped that for 35 years they can be, you know, living underground. So this family went underground and lived for 35 years down, thinking that there was a nuclear holocaust and the whole world was destroyed and everything is finished and we are the only people who are safe down. And after 35 years, when they came out, it was the 1995. Imagine what must have happened to them. They actually thought that the people are mutants. You know what's mutants? After the nuclear war, like they're creatures, you know, mutants. They looked like mutants to them. Just in 35 years, there was such a drastic change. When they came out, when they saw all the hip crowd, the hippie culture with hair like this and drugs and falling here and there, they thought that these people are mutants. You know, they are some kind of creatures or alien creatures who have come. So imagine, that is what our parents must be feeling when they see the present generation. No, that's the feeling they must be getting. My God, they are crazy, completely different from what we were. So it's actually that what has happened, you know. In the past, 35 years is too much. In the past 15 to 20 years, in fact, when I was young 20 years back, there has been such a drastic change in the way this generation, your generation, thinks, feels, talks, dresses, everything. Everything, the views about everything has changed in just the past 15, 20 years. So obviously, Generation X will think Generation Y is completely crazy. They can just not understand why somebody can go 24 hours. Like, I can't understand my daughter going on ticking away at the mobile, just staring away and fingers moving with lightning speed on the, you know, keys, whole day almost. When you can just pick up a phone or just call and meet a friend and just talk to her for hours together on the phone. But it's just out of this. I just cannot understand what they get out of that. So this is something which we will never understand, but maybe you all know better. So, or why is wires always coming out of the ears of, you know, the young people nowadays? They are like always wired with some iPod in the hand or mobile in the hand. We never had anything coming out from the ears, and 24 hours we are, you know, something in the hand. Nor that you must be thinking, what are these old people? They are always, you know, like in our time, my parents used to always carry a water bottle. Wherever they go, they'll fill a bottle and they'll go out of the house. And now you feel, what is the need? We can just buy the bottle whenever we want, right? Whenever we feel. So you don't understand why the elders do things like that, stand in line for something. Everything we want instant now, right? So obviously you think they are crazy and they think you are crazy. Really crazy. So the point is that we see there are so many differences. Like anybody who is different from anyone else is looked upon as crazy. Like just now I saw one guy who had a t-shirt on that was written, "I'm laughing on you because you're different." That's all. It was written here. "I feel like laughing because you are different." I mean, that's the reason. You are different from someone, so you are crazy. So you have to laugh on them. This is the trend, right? Young people think that anybody who is different, that's why. What is happening now is all of you want to look same to same. Everybody is same. That puff she was talking about, everybody wears that puff. Everybody wears the same type of jeans. Everybody wants to wear the same type of t-shirt, the same style. Same, everything same, 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 same. Why? Because if you be little different means you are going to be labeled, stamped as crazy. And nobody wants to be that, right? Nobody wants to be called as crazy. So this is the problem. Anybody who is different, anybody who tries to do anything different in this world, this is how the world has been going on like that. Anybody who has tried to be different or think something innovative or new in the beginning everybody thinks they are crazy. For example, I mean, for me, when I was in school and college, if somebody would have told me that 20 years from now, every kid, every housewife, every beggar on the street, every man, every woman will be having a mobile in the hand and you could call your friends anytime on the spot whenever you want to talk, I would have thought, you're crazy. How can you even think such a thing? I actually thought something like that when I was a kid, actually. What fun if everybody had phones in the hand, we could talk to everyone. But then nobody spoke about it because it's something silly, you know. You say, how it is possible, right? It's something too far out. Even something like, at one time I will have to buy water. It's unthinkable. It's something totally crazy that how can water be bought? We never saw any bottles or water being sold anywhere. It's always given free. So this is a crazy thought, but it's still happening now, right? Same way, the Wright brothers, you know, the ones who created the aeroplanes, everybody used to laugh at them. They would think like they are lunatics. Every day they come, they make some wing type thing, some contraption, and then they fall, hurt their bones, break their bones, and again after 1 month, 2 months, again they come up with another contraption. And they would be laughed on by everyone. Everyone thought they are crazy. Have you heard of a person flying in the air? It's too far out. But today there are hundreds of people, you know, traveling by air. Jet planes, different planes, more and more high-tech planes have come up, right? But when they were beginning, people were laughing at them, right? So anything different you want to do, people laugh on you. Even Henry Ford, he's the one who started this Ford company. That otherwise, in the 19th century, that cars were like something which, you know, is like a bike, how you pedal and push this and start the motor like that. So you had to like crank up, there would be a lever which you move it at fast speed and then the motor will start. So everybody used to start their cars like that, go on like kink 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 in the front and then start the motor and then get it. And he would go on trying to, you know, improvise the car, and everybody would say, everybody at that time were using horses. So he's saying, go get a horse. Why are you trying to build a car? Something would go on four wheels. No, it was too far out for people to accept. So anybody's ideas which were radical or different from others were considered crazy. So many people had to die because of that. People like Socrates, people like all the great saints. Why? Because they had different views. They had views which were not like others, so they were termed as crazy. Same like in our history, in ISKCON history, when Prabhupada was in America, he first went to America in 1960s, and the American youth were becoming so attracted to Krishna consciousness and they were taking up the Vedic lifestyle and start wearing dhoti and saffron clothes, put tilak. For us it is like common, we have seen in India people like, but in America, can you imagine what kind of a effect it must have had? People were calling the ISKCON devotees like those crazy people who walk around in bed sheets with clay on their foreheads. That's what they thought about devotees, you know, dressed in bed sheets and having clay on their head, white clay on their foreheads. So it was like too far out for them, and with shaven heads. The shaven-headed guys. So people were thinking they are like crazy people. And they were actually, the parents were employing, you know, like a special squad. They are like the brainwashing squad, you know. They would send them to catch these devotee kids. I mean, these kids who are Hare Krishnas, and put them in one institution, like mad people's institution, and sort of grill them and kind of brainwash them, literally. Because they thought that they are completely gone crazy and they need to be treated. Their brains have to be washed. So Srila Prabhupada said, actually we are washing their brains. You know, they are actually crazy and we are making them, you know, they are washing their brains. So this is how they were treated. In fact, in Russia, so many devotees who were practicing Krishna consciousness because they were going against the ideology of the Russian government at that time, which was completely atheistic. They have been tortured in mental institutions. They were given drugs and given such horrible treatment which made them like completely vegetables. This is the amount of sacrifice they had to give just because they are different from the others. So you are different from others, you are termed as crazy. Me myself, this is where I want to tell about how when I became a devotee, 1 week before I became a devotee, I was in jeans, like how these girls were dressed, jeans and like a regular person going to college. And 1 week after I joined Krishna consciousness, I mean, there was such a transformation in me that actually I went to the temple, to my college for the first time in a sari with a bead bag and a tilak. You can imagine what kind of looks I must have got. As if, has she gone mad or something, totally bonkers, crazy, just walking in a sari. And that too with a hand in the bead bag, I could see each one's eyes like completely staring. And in the lift, when I got into the lift with my bead bag, the liftman asked, something happened to your hand? Hand got burnt or something? You know, like it's just too far out for them. They just couldn't imagine what must be the reason for me coming to the college with a bead bag. So I was completely aware at that time that I am completely different from what others are, and it's a sudden change. So I got such horrible looks, such horrible experience, but actually at that time I felt kind of very proud of myself. I felt actually very proud that I am actually I am different from them. I am really different from them. And I was feeling very proud about it. Anyway, I'll go ahead further. But the question here is, after hearing so much, we should ask this question, who is actually crazy? Who is crazy? Have you seen a crazy person anytime, really? Anybody's gone to Thane Mental Hospital? Once I went. I went to a mental hospital once. And all mental hospitals are like how all regular crazy people. You know how we see in the film sometimes, what is the impression of a mental person who pulls their hair, tears their clothes, or scratches themselves? This is usually a crazy person, right? So I walked into the mental hospital and everybody, some of them were really crazy, really looking crazy. Suddenly one guy came up, really neatly dressed, with a very, very nice, sober, mature expression, and he actually welcomed me. Aye, please come. And I thought he's the warden or something like that, you know. He's saying, what is your name? And I told him, I'm saying, I'm very pleased to meet you. And he shook my hands. And I said, and he said, I think you're a very capable person. And I want to take you in my party. I said, which party? My party, Congress. Congress party? Actually, I don't want to be a politician. He's saying, but may I know who you are? You know, I was wondering, who is this? You don't know who I am? I'm Jawaharlal Nehru. And then I noticed that actually he's so neatly dressed with a white topi. And he actually had a rose on his shirt. And then I got the shock of my life. I said, this person actually thinks that he's Jawaharlal Nehru. And then the warden came and told me, he's one of the guys, just, you know, be careful. So then I realized, I looked around, there was one person walking with his hand inside, like Napoleon Bonaparte. And there were more standing and talking, giving speeches on the table. You know, very, very sensible speeches. That's when the warden told me that people who don't look mad and crazy are actually who are most crazy. So we have to be careful. Actually, I didn't go to a mental hospital. This was just a story I made up. Anyway, so this is what happens, you know. People who don't look crazy at all actually are most crazy. But why? Why they are most crazy? Because they are thinking that they are someone else, someone whom they are not, right? That's completely crazy. they actually believe and they are convinced that they are something or someone else who they are not. This is a real sure shot crazy person behavior, right? And then once, what is another crazy crack character? I was one day going in a train. This also didn't happen, but I'm just telling it anyways. So I was going one day in a train and there was a girl sitting right in front of me. Normal looking girl, but she had a dumb expression on the face. So I thought maybe I should make friends with her because I'm going for a long distance traveling with her. So I said, "Hello, what's your name?" And she gave me that same dumb expression, saying, "I don't know." So I thought maybe she just doesn't want to be friends with me, so it's okay, you know, don't. I said, "Okay, but where are you from? You can at least tell me where you are from." And he said, "Sorry, I don't know." I said, then I started getting a doubt. Maybe she's also one more type of crazy person who looks sane. Then I said, "Okay, where are you getting off? Where are you going in this train? You have sat in this train, you're going somewhere?" Saying, "I don't know." So for every question I asked, she said the same thing. What? "I don't know." So sure shot in my mind, I was convinced this girl is crazy. Either she's completely crazy or she's more than crazy. So then I decided, so this is one more type of crazy person. And the third experience, have you seen this, heard this story anytime? When I heard it, I found it very funny and very, very, you know, silly. The story of Sheikh Chilli. You know who is Sheikh Chilli? When I was small, I read this story. Sheikh Chilli is a very, very well-known person. He's a very famous personality. He's known for his foolishness. So one day he was sitting on the tree with an axe. And he was sitting on the branch of the tree and he was cutting the tree. So one man was walking from down. He looked up and he saw Sheikh Chilli and started shouting, hey, what you're doing? You're sitting on the branch and cutting the same branch that you're sitting in. He's saying, what nonsense? You don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. And that guy said, anyway, forget it. And he went on hitting it. Went on hitting the branch. Another guy came. More people came and everybody was trying to warn him. And he kept telling, nothing will happen. What do you think? He's very intelligent? Huh? Was it an intelligent thing for him to do? He's completely crazy. You hit the same branch. You cut the same branch that you are sitting in. What? Obviously, he's going to fall down and break his bones, right? And that's what ultimately happened. So this is one more type of crazy behavior, right? We saw all the different types of crazy behaviors. But if you analyze, actually, everybody in this world is doing all these three types of crazy behavior. In fact, if you see inside, we are also doing this kind of crazy behavior. Like in the first instance, the person thinks that he's someone that he is not, and he's identifying with someone else who is not. Just like in this material world, we see half the people, most of them, identify with their body as the real entity. They identify with their body as if that is their true nature or that is their true personality. But actually we know that we are not this body. We are the spirit soul, right? Everybody knows that, at least in India. It's very common. But when we identify ourselves as the body, then everything changes, right? Our whole perspective changes. The life centered around the body is like life centered around sense gratification, right? Because the aim of the person becomes what? Just to satisfy this body. Just like the but the real person is the soul. Just like the driver and the car. The car is just the material object or material covering. Whereas the driver is the real person who is driving the car, because of which the car is moving. So obviously they have different needs, right? The needs of the car is different from the needs of the driver. The driver needs, you know, mango juice for nourishing them, and the car needs petrol. What if you give the driver the petrol to drink and put mango juice in the car? Do you think it will satisfy them? It will not satisfy anybody, right? Because their needs are different. But the problem is that everybody is identifying themselves with this body. Just like the bird and the cage. The body is just a cage which is covering, but the bird inside is what is the living person. So if we just polish the cage and not feed the bird within, it is foolishness, right? Because unless the soul is satisfied, you know, nothing else, whatever you do in this world will not satisfy you, right? It is very funny, but His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj told an experience from his life, how this misidentification can cause such a big chaos. There was a girl, you know, in college, when he was studying in college, she took an overdose of LSD. At that time, there was a drug called as LSD, which would give them, you know, some high spiritual experiences, which is not true at all. You cannot get spiritual experiences just by drugs. But this trend or this fashion was there, that people would take this drug, and she somehow got an overdose of that, and because of which in her mind she actually, her whole consciousness was transformed and she became a bird. She actually thought, she actually started believing that she's a bird. She started identifying, you know, her whole consciousness has turned into a bird consciousness. Like actually she believed she has become a bird. So she actually forgot even speaking English language. She was talking like a bird. Tweet, 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 all the time. She was making all these funny noises. And actually one day she climbed on a window to start flying out of the window. It's not funny, but actually she thought that she's a bird and she can fly out. And they had to catch her and put her in a cage so that she doesn't kill herself. This is really very sad, but this is how, when you misidentify yourself with your body. We are spirit souls, part and parcel of God, but we identify with this body, and it becomes such a miserable existence. And second example is, we see in this material world, just like that girl, she didn't know where she's come from. Who is she, first of all? Where she has come from? Where she is going to go? We thought she's crazy, right? But the fact is that in this world, there are so many people, materialistic people, who don't know where they have come from, who they are, what is their true identity, what is their true relationship with God. They are completely blank about it. They don't know where they have come from and where they are supposed to go. Right? They don't have any idea about that. But still, they are going on with their life. Isn't it crazy? If you are an intelligent person, shouldn't you know what is your true identity? Where have you come from and where you would like to go? Where you are going in life? What is the goal of your life? Right? So the point is, materialists do not know this. Most of us don't know where we came from and where we are going to go. But we see in spiritual life, we get this knowledge through shastras, through scriptures, who we are, what is our relationship with God, where we have come from, and where we are going to go. Right? We have this whole knowledge. But third situation is that everyone in this world, we are living in this world, but we are destroying the very place that was giving us shelter. Just like that Sheikh Chilli who is trying to, you know, break the branch that he is sitting in, which is giving him shelter, that same branch he is trying to break, right? Similarly, in this world we see that the whole world is going through a path of self-destruction. Don't you feel? In the name of, you know, advancement of technology, are we really making the earth a better place to live? Or we are making it like a poisonous, you know, chamber where all of us are gradually suffocating ourselves, right? The environmentalists who are studying the world, they are saying that within few years, you know, it's very much in the near future, this world will not be able to be sustain human life. Why? Because the ozone layer is completely getting destroyed and there won't be any oxygen in the air. Normal, fresh, you can already see the effects of pollution that we are seeing, right? The very body, the in place like India, the very rivers such as Yamuna and Ganga, which is sheltering and giving life to so many of us in this world, in the land of India, that is the most polluted rivers in the entire world. It's the most polluted. In fact, the waters of Yamuna has been considered as a most poisonous water. And the river is considered dead. And who is responsible for that? Who is responsible for that? We are responsible, right? We who are staying, living in this world, we are actually destroying the very place which is giving us shelter. Something in the name of technology or some in the name of development, so many poisonous or so many dangerous things we are creating, which actually is killing us only. For example, now everybody has realized that plastic, though it seemed like a very, very wonderful invention of the modern, modern world, but actually it is the most polluting factor of this world. The plastic bags, which was not there about 20, 30 years ago or 40 years ago. It was not so prominent. But plastic bags are actually destroying the entire environment of the world. Not only is it killing the animals, because the plastics can not be destroyed. It can never be destroyed. It is not biodegradable. So it is destroying animals and it's killing the animals. The marine life in the oceans, the seas, where all this, you know, plastic is dumped, all the waste that we see in this, the chemical and the toxic waste is dumped in the seas, the rivers and the oceans. And it's killing all the marine life. So it is completely breaking the balance of the earth. So now you all are the youth who are going to inherit the earth from us, from the older generation. So it is for you to understand that whatever mistakes were made, we should stop doing the same mistakes, right? Otherwise we are doing the same crazy things what the previous generations did. And if you continue or making it worse or add to it, then you will be responsible, right? You will have to face the consequences. So this is how crazily human beings behave. How crazy people can get. This is the three examples of how crazy one can get. So we see that in our life, we see that people are centering their life around sense gratification or around something which will gratify their body or give them instant satisfaction now. But do you think they really get the benefits of that? Is that kind of thinking really going to benefit? Like we saw in that drama, in that skit, of the two girls who thought that, you know, being in or being happening, as they say, by doing all the things which is, you know, considered as hip or fashionable today, something which is giving them instant, you know, instant high for their senses, may seem very attractive, but does it actually give them good results? It's like putting investing all your money in some business which you know is definitely going to fail. you already know that this business is going to be a failure and you invest all your money. Is it something intelligent or a crazy thing to do? Isn't it crazy that you put all your life's mission to just enjoy this body by doing all the sinful activities or doing all the wrong things now because you get happiness or a high now, but you put yourself at complete risk? So the intelligent thing is to understand that unless we understand what is the goal of our life, if our goal of our life is spiritual, if our goal of our life is to understand that we are soul, not this body, then obviously we understand that life or our life is meant for something higher than what we are doing now. Not just doing the same things what the whole world is doing, like this herd mentality. Just because the whole generation of yours is doing, leading their lives in a particular way, but you can see where they are leading to, right? You can see that they are going to be miserable, they are going to suffer, they are going to be, we know that this business is going to fail anyways. Whatever they do, it's never, they will never get that happiness what they are searching for, but searching for in all the wrong places. Right? In all the wrong places they are trying to get the happiness, which is crazy because there is no happiness in all those things. On the other hand, the materialists think the spiritualists are crazy. Why? Like those girls were thinking, Behenjis, they are missing something so wonderful, you know. Like they feel that spiritualists are such drab, boring people who have got nothing in life which is at all worth looking forward to, and their life is just sort of, no for this, cut off this, you know, I don't want to enjoy, we should never enjoy, we should just be miserable, we should always be, but this is wrong. Means you should tell the young people that spiritualism or being spiritual does not mean boring. In fact, it is more fun, but more fun in the right way, right? In fact, we enjoy more than what other people do. We eat better food, we get too much good food, we have a lot of fun dancing, which you will experience after the Chaitanya festival, which we have great fun dancing, we have great fun singing. In fact, our whole mission, the whole spiritual movement is based on that, chanting, dancing and feasting. We are always blissful. We are blissfully chanting, dancing and feasting. Not miserably chanting, dancing and feasting. We are very happy doing it. So this is what usually people like to think, that spiritual life is boring. They are miserable people who are renouncing everything. They are just cutting off everything in their life. But it's not like that. In fact, we are enjoying more, but we are enjoying in the right way. We know exactly how to enjoy our lives. We don't make foolish, crazy choices. We don't make foolish, crazy mistakes. Why? Because we are always protected. We are always in the association of the right kind of people. We are not in the association of the wrong people who can take advantage of us. We are not as crazy as putting ourselves in such kind of situations where we are taking advantage. We are intelligent enough to know that whom we should associate with or whom we should associate or be hang around with, basically. We know whom to hang around with. We know that we should be in such association which will actually elevate us and enliven us, and also will make us do something worthwhile for the society. So this is the choices that we make. So materialists may think that spiritualists are crazy because they are different, but actually we should be proud to be different, right? Like how I felt very proud. Why should we be like the others? We should be something special, and you should take pride in that. I know it's a very radical view. Maybe many of them, you know, people who are devotees also feel, oh, I don't want to be, you know, seen in the crowd or stand out in the crowd. But when you know that you are doing something right, when you know that you are backed by something, we are actually supporting, or we are being supported by God Himself. So then why should we worry? Why should we be scared of anything or anyone? Why should we be afraid to be different? Just because people will think we are crazy? The world will anyways laugh. They want to laugh at people. But why should you worry? We want to be different. I don't mind being called crazy. Because I'm confident that if at all I'm crazy, at least I'm crazy for the right things. As we already discussed, everybody is crazy anyways. Everybody is anyways crazy. But the point is, whom do you want to be crazy about? There's a very wonderful story. I'm sure many of you have heard, but I'll tell it for the people who have not heard, about a great saint called Bilwa Mangal Thakur. He was as crazy as ever. And he was as crazy as ever for a woman, as usual. So he was so crazy about a beautiful prostitute. He was so mad about her. In fact, he was so crazy that his father died and he was being, you know, his funeral was going on. And it was raining cats and dogs. And all he could think of is, how can I run away from here and go to her? I mean, that's how crazy he was. Completely obsessed. And he actually ran away from his own father's funeral. And in that big storm, in that rain and thunder that was going on, he went to the river to cross. And there was no boatman who was ready to cross with the boat because there was such a storm going. And he jumped into the river in such, you know, storm. And he caught hold of a log of wood. He thought it's a log of wood. And he crossed the river. And when he reached on the other side, when he saw down, it was not a log of wood. It was a corpse. It was a dead body. He actually caught hold of a dead body to cross the river. That's how desperate he was. Then he went running wildly in the rain to her house. The house was locked. I mean, the door was locked. But he was so desperate, so typical Romeo style, he started climbing from the window to reach her balcony. And he saw one rope hanging and he caught hold of that rope and he started climbing up. And once he reached the balcony, when he looked down, he got the shock of his life because it was not a rope, it was a snake. But still he was blind, you know, I said, I want to go and meet her. And he ran, opened the doors and went before her, his beloved, and he said, I've come to see you. And he said, she said, how crazy can you get? You see the storm, you see what you have done, you have taken so much trouble to come all the way to see me. If you would have put that much effort to see Krishna, to see God, by now you would have been a self-realized soul. If you had that much intensity, if you were that much crazy for God, then you would have actually got enlightened by now. At that time he realized, you know, because that was a very powerful statement coming from her, it was, he actually realized that I'm crazy. I'm totally crazy after something which is anyway temporary, which is anyway going to be destroyed. And which is anyway not going to be mine. But that same intensity, if that same craziness, if I showed for Krishna, for attaining God, then how much I can benefit? How much I would have benefited? So that's the lesson for us. If you see, all of us are obsessed. We are crazy. We are completely crazy about so many things in this world, which is of no value at all. It's going to be destroyed anyways. Right? It's never going to be yours anyways. So yes, we all have to be crazy and we will remain crazy. But the point is, you have to decide today, what do you want to be crazy about? Do you want to be crazy about the things of this world, or we want to be crazy about Krishna or God? So this is a choice that we have to make. And make this decision that we don't mind if people laugh at us. We don't mind if we are different from others. But we don't mind being crazy for Krishna. Better to be that than suffer in this material world, right? So we have to make this choice. Whom do we want to be crazy about, right? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? So if there's no question, I wanted to make a very important announcement. Okay, there's a question. Yeah, I understood the question. So first of all, I want to remove your misunderstanding that Krishna was a person who had human feelings. In fact, it's the other way around. We human beings are designed on God. We are made in the image of God. God is not made in the image of human being. You understood? It's a misconception when people start analyzing the activities and the, whatever you are talking about, what God has done, and thinking that it is human-like. But it's the other way around. We are actually humans. We have been designed on the image of God. We are like Him. He is not like us. You understood the basic difference? First of all, we as human beings are... That's also what Bible says, that man is made in the image of God. This is a statement from the Bible where Jesus has said that human beings are made in the image of God. Yani we are similar. We have the same kind of, image, or this, how we look and how we feel, or how our personality is. So what our problem is, what we human beings think, is that because we are human beings, we think that we can judge God and His activities in the same parameters as how we judge human beings. But actually it is not that He is imitating the human beings. Human beings are made in the image of God. We are trying to imitate God actually. You understood the difference? So there is no harm in enjoying what. But the point is, you think you can enjoy like God? Like He got married to 16,108 wives. He had 16,108 wives. I know men in this world may be fantasizing about having many, many, many women like this, but they know very well they cannot even manage one. They cannot manage even one, or they cannot even control one. Forget about speaking about 16,108. So it's completely impossible that any man can imitate the activities of God, even if he tries his level best. So what you are trying to say is that Krishna is enjoying so many women. He's having such wonderful, lovely, happy times with all the... So why can't we? But the point is, that's the foolishness of human beings, is to think that they can enjoy like God. We are made in the image of God. That means we have the same personality or the same feelings, like how God also has. But the point is, we are like completely perverted reflection of God, purity God stands for. Like even the love which you were talking about, what Krishna is having a loving relationship, that love is completely on the spiritual platform, which people of this world forget about talking about it. they cannot even understand from the farthest, you know, stretch of their imagination what level of purity that love is in. Because the love of this world is completely perverted, completely contaminated, and completely third class. So the point is, people try to think that having their level of understanding of loving relationships in this world, they can judge the loving relationships of Krishna with all his pure devotees or pure gopis. That's the biggest mistake that we can do. So the intelligent thing to do is to understand that you are made in the image of God, so you are actually part of God, a small, tiny, atomic part of God. So the intelligent thing to understand is that I can be happy in this world or enjoy completely only if I am connected with God and understand that I am part of God, and our relationship is only of service. Just like a part has to serve the whole, right? Part of the machine has to serve the whole machine. Part of the family has to serve the whole family. Part of this country has to serve the country, right? So similarly, we are part of Krishna. So our relationship is only of service. We only have to serve Krishna. And when we engage in that, we'll be completely happy, we'll be completely satisfied and blissful in our life. So we can do all those things, whatever you're saying, to become happy and have a very enjoyable life. We can do all those things, but we have our limitations. Okay? Does it answer your question? You understood? Thank you. So any more questions? Because I have some very important announcements. No more questions, no? Okay. So the first announcement is, as I spoke in the lecture, we have spoken about how the earth is getting polluted by plastic bags. So we at Bhaktivedanta Hospital Youth Foundation, we are starting a campaign or a drive to make people aware about the ill effects of plastic, how plastic is destroying the environment, and how you as the future generation, as the youth, can take up this cause to not only discourage plastic bags, but also encourage people to use alternative means of plastic bags, such as newspapers or, you know, newspaper bags or cloth bags. So we are starting a campaign for newspaper collection, because we have a project in Wada which has a small cottage industry which gives work to very poor women of the society there, or in the villages, to make newspaper bags. And when we make those newspaper bags, we can bring it to the city and create awareness about using of newspaper bags. Do you think this will help? Do you think this will help to affect the, to make, change the mindset of people? As if we change, then slowly we can see change even in others, right? So we are requesting you that we are starting this campaign. So we need volunteers for this service, to not only yourself donate the newspapers, but also, you know, make other people aware and help to collect newspapers. So we have set up a stall down. If you all want, you can pledge your newspapers. Every month newspapers you can donate, or you can also be a volunteer. Volunteer to become a part of this campaign. So you can give your name, phone number and email ID down at the stall where we have made for creating awareness, for starting this campaign. Okay, this is one of the very important announcement. And one more announcement is that this is a new website we have launched, and it's already started. It's called www.youthspirit.com. It's specially for the youth. It's specially for all of you. And this whole website is inspired by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and all the activities that we are going to do, like this newspaper collection drive and many others which we have done in the future, will be showcased on this website. And you can also get many of your questions answered through this, not only spiritual but any other type of question can be answered. There's going to be a discussion board also, forum also on this, and there will be many, many youth related articles which will help you in your life. So please do visit this regularly, register yourself for this website, and you can volunteer for any of the services here. Okay, thank you very much. And there are very other most important announcement is that next Sunday is the happy birthday of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. How many years back? 19 years back? 20 years? 23 years back. He's a youth. So he, 23 years back, Radha Gopinath appeared here in this temple. So we are going to celebrate it in a very, very grand party. A very super party which all of you can definitely enjoy yourself, and don't be scared, nothing will happen here. Whatever happen will be good. So you are all invited for this birthday party on 17th July. You can come anytime, the whole day the party is going on, whole day. So you can come whenever you like. And then there is a wonderful festival called as Jhulan Yatra, which is from 9th today, no sorry, it's 9th to 13th August. Please remember the days. 9th to 13th August is Jhulan Yatra. 13th August is Balram Jayanti. Haan, why we are announcing all this? Because next month there's not going to be any Chetna. The next Chetna will be straight in September, because all the weekends are, there is some festival or the other. So there's Jhulan Yatra from 9th to 13th of August. 13th August is Balram Jayanti. One more birthday party. And 22nd August is Janmashtami, one more birthday party. My God, this is full party month. Huh? This is happy birthday of Krishna. That is Janmashtami, 22nd August. Please bring your families and your friends. Everybody is welcome for this. And the next Chetna will be on 3rd September. It's a big long gap. And the topic is think positive. Wow, wonderful. After all these parties, I think everybody will start thinking positive only. You know? So think positive by Her Grace Kishori Mataji, Dr. Komal Dalal. So see that you are here on 3rd September, and before that, in all these parties that are there, you can come with your family and friends. And now we will go on to the best part of the program, which I'm always looking forward to more than the lecture, is Kirtan and dance. Okay, anything else?
Would like to thank Sita Mataji by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Would like to welcome all the new girls, whoever has come for the first time to the Chetna program. Can you stand on your places? Thank you so much for removing your special time, especially in this rainy season. We have some small gifts for you.